Well, it's been a conundrum for some time now. That is, our cars use less fuel. That means less revenue for our roads. And with the electric transformation, it may mean no fuel for a lot of drivers. So how do we remedy that? Well, there's finally some significant action on that. We find that within the pages of Crain's Detroit Business, and welcome in Mike Lee, as we do every Monday. He's the managing editor over at Crain's. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Guy. How are you?
Good. So what would the alternative look like?
Well, this is something that people have warned about for a long time. The EV transition is going to take gas tax money out of our road funding budget, and we have to find a way to replace that if we want to have roads. Never mind the fact that EVs actually probably put more wear and tear on the roads than gasoline engines do because they're so heavy. The state is going to be applying for a program to create a pilot to study how such a system where you pay by your mileage might work. We're expected to apply for a federal grant to pay for that. It's a long way from being fully baked. Lots of options for how such a system might play out, whether your miles would be tracked, pay at the end of the year, or how it might work. The fact is that EV owners only pay about 70% of what owners of gasoline vehicles pay toward Michigan roads right now. And that's going to that number is going to just become untenable very soon.
Well, and the data collection may be kind of granular, too. You may have bots on board that will say whether you're driving on a county road, a federal highway, or a rural road. By the way, we should remind you this Crain's Detroit interview is brought to you by Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Learn more at michiganbusiness.org.
Mike, the talk of urban flooding, we just had some rain just a couple of days ago, and it was a pretty good amount. I didn't hear a lot of things as far as people's basements flooding. I'm sure people probably had issues. It wasn't a lot of flooding on the freeways, but that's an issue, though, in some of these urban areas in these Midwest cities.
It's something we've seen across the Midwest. This week we took a look at the problem of urban flooding across Detroit, Chicago, Cleveland, Grand Rapids. We are seeing more frequent outbursts of really heavy rain. We did see a very lengthy period of rain this weekend. We saw pretty major flooding in 2021 here in Detroit. Our freeways are a special problem. The drainage and the system of pumps that keeps those sort of concrete trenches free of water just can't keep up with the rain or aren't working properly because they haven't been maintained. The ultimate question for cities is what to do about it. It's an expensive fix. It's not a politically popular fix when you're spending money on things that are largely invisible until they become a problem. But, the Great Lakes Water Authority has mapped out hundreds of millions of dollars in upgrades to its stormwater system. We've got separate suburban stormwater systems, and many of those upgrades are already underway. But this is going to continue to be a growing problem that the cities are going to have to deal with, and it's going to be expensive.
Mike, this issue of where the lines will practice, it's a discussion that Rod Wood has had. They said nothing immediate, but maybe they might look into changing their digs from Allen Park to someone else. And you guys are reporting cities are trying to woo the Lions.
Yeah, you're starting to see a little bit of a competition brew up to try and get the Lions to move their practice facility from Allen Park. Rod Wood has said that there have been talks about places in Detroit and Ann Arbor. We know that Canton Township has created a pretty elaborate plan to lure them over by I-275 and Ford Road. There's a Detroit architect who's pushing his own plan for the site of the old Herman Kiefer Hospital in Detroit. Rod Wood has said that they're a long way from making decisions, but he keeps teasing this, so obviously something is going on. So I think you're going to see this competition to woo the Lions keep intensifying.
Well, if you watch Hard Knocks, the other team's practice facilities are much larger, and they could have more fans come and watch.
Right,
so
it's more of a fan experience,
yeah.
Right?
That I think that's a big part of it, and Rod Wood has said that they want that space for the fan experience.
We know the second tallest building in Detroit has topped out, and it has a name.
Yeah, the Dan Gilbert's tower on the Hudson site, the little Christmas tree appeared on top of it last week as they put the final girder in place, 680 feet up. Makes it the second tallest building in Detroit. It's about 45 feet shorter than the central tower of the Rensen. And they kind of sneakily posted on Instagram the official name of the place, and they're just going with tradition. Hudson's Detroit will be the name of this thing. So I'm not trying to give it a name that people haven't already been calling it for years and years and years, which is probably a smart move.
And also, Mike, you know, we've talked about the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge, and the Maroons have kind of been thinking about that, too. Like, you know, could that happen here?
Yeah, I thought this was really interesting. That was something that went through, you know, our minds after that bridge collapse in Baltimore, given that we have some pretty major bridges that have very large economic importance across the Detroit River. Matthew Maroon, the owner of the Ambassador Bridge, appeared last week at the Michigan Chronicle's Pancakes and Politics Breakfast, made a rare speaking appearance there. He called the Key Bridge disaster a wake-up call, which I thought was pretty intense. He said the Ambassador Bridge companies working with U.S. and Canadian officials to rework safety planning for the Ambassador to help prevent, you know, just this kind of disaster or plan for what will happen if such a disaster did happen. He also mentioned the bridge faces, you know, threats both on the water and from land, mentioning the blockade of the bridge several years ago by protesting truckers who shut the bridge down. So, you know, there's a lot of thought going into this as the Gordie Howe Bridge nears completion. We'll at least have some redundancy crossing the river, but it's something, you know. The Ambassador is an old bridge, so that kind of safety prep planning is critical.
Should be pointed out, though, that its stanchions, its supports, are land based.
Not in the water.
Yeah, they're not in the river like we saw with the Key Bridge. And finally, Dustin Walsh posting an interesting story that apparently we set a record for marijuana consumption in March.
We
know March is pretty bleak in Michigan. But
usually it's April.
Well, what was the special event?
Spring.
Good weather.
I couldn't tell you. The sales just keep going up and up and up. I think they've been helped by higher prices a little bit, so that makes a difference. But we have not reached the limits of our appetite for cannabis in Michigan. So.
Yeah, and then we had the eclipse. That must have been even more special for them. thanks so much, Mike. You have a great week. And we will look up for details on all these stories and the latest business news in the pages of Crane's Detroit Business when we come back. Rocky Rishkowski, the military response to Iran's attack.